Oh, isn't it great to sing God's praise together? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise His name. Oh, I love Jesus. Love Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to share a few thoughts this morning that have been brewing in my heart. Just a kind of a thought of what I just remind us of today. But I know there's somebody watching on live stream today, and Lance, I just wanted to say to you that our hearts and prayers are with you at the passing of your mom. And, you know, as you and your family grieve and even celebrate her life, you know, we want you to know that us, the church, are with you. And we give you a virtual hug today. So the Lord bless you and keep you, and may His peace just rest upon you today. God is faithful, and He'll help you through. So be blessed, Lance. You know, one of our values as a church, the three, is that we would connect with God. It's so important as a church of people, not this church building, but as a people, that the church knows how to connect with God. You know, it's important that every one of us connect with God in being redeemed and in salvation, but also as we grow in our faith. And one of the values that I feel like in connection with connecting with God this year is that God has given me a word that we would all raise the bar or elevate our faith. That we wouldn't just stay kind of in the vein we're in, which is fine, you know, and it's good to be in good relationship with God. But there comes moments and seasons of our life when we all have to seek after God, and we have to raise our faith up and allow God to grow our faith. So that we would learn how to be good in relationship and closer in relationship with Him. You know, that means that in our disciplines, we learn how to read the Word of God, and not only read it, but digest it and listen to what the Spirit is saying to us as He teaches us. But we begin to do that more regularly and more often, and we start to build up our knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. It means that when we are in a prayer closet, that we learn how to talk to God. That we learn how to seek after God and have conversation with Him, because God is near. He's not some far-off entity that's up there with the gavel, you know, banging down on us. He's somebody who's personable, and He wants to have relationship with us, and He told us if we draw near that He would draw near to us, but He wants us to draw near. So when we come together or to alone with God, we pray. And then we allow the Spirit to speak, so we have to listen. And part of connecting with God is learning how to listen to the voice of the Spirit, that still small voice that wants to invest into your life and into my life. You know, one of the things that I also have been challenged by and I call us to as a church is that the first Monday of the month that you set it aside to fast and pray and seek the Lord, that you might connect with Him. That you might grow in your grace, of His grace. And so that's tomorrow. And if you can do the whole day, or you can take a meal and an hour and just set it aside before God and say, God, how can I get closer to You? You see, I believe that disciplines are important because they show a hunger and a thirsting after God. And that we need to be hungry and thirsty for God. And fasting is one of those things. You go, well, I love food. So do I. In fact, I don't like going without it. That's the point. You know, fasting is like an illustration of removing something from our life that we really want to show that God is more important than anything else in our life. Now, for some of us, that could be taking our phones and putting them aside, our computers, internet, Facebook, social media, setting it all aside for a day. For some, that's worse than food. But it's putting time to say to God, God, I need You and I want You more desperately in my life than anything else that I have. You know, I remember this whole idea of connecting with God foreign to me growing up, because as a boy, I wasn't from a Christian home or a Christian family. And slowly, God, as You providentially look back at the work of God in my life, there were those moments that God intersected me even before I came to faith. And as a young kid, you know, we were poor. You know, there was a lot going on in our household. There was, even that time around 10 years old, 9, 10, 11, when family were selling drugs out of our house, and there was alcohol was involved and abuse in the home. It was interesting times. But in the midst of all of that, I remember that moment as a 10-year-old boy when I woke up or I was in the kitchen. I had sleptwalked or something, and I was in my kitchen on the floor at the back of the wall behind the table in the middle of the darkness, and I was just devastated for some reason, crying when I woke up from this, and I heard that voice saying, "Rich," I said, "Rich, come here." So I got up off the floor and I went into my mom and dad's bedroom and said, "What do you want?" And I woke them up. They hadn't talked to me. And later on in life, it wasn't until years later when I realized it was the voice of God calling me from my life to something greater. So when I was 13 years old and had been introduced to Jesus by some friends, I finally one day after church went into my bedroom and knelt at my bed and I said, "Jesus, I don't know everything about you, but I know one thing. I need you, and I want you in my life. Would you take my life and forgive my sin?" You see, at that moment, I connected with God, the calling of the Spirit of God in my life. And life went on after that, and there's great moments with God intersecting and connecting to me. But you know what? I'm a little bit older now than 13. Just a little bit. I'm still young. But you know what? I today want to know Jesus more than I ever have in the past. I want to know Him. I want to connect with Him. I want the Spirit of God to move in my life. So just as much as I needed to connect with salvation as a 13-year-old, I need God today more than I ever have to grow in my life, to build up my faith, to help me be more fruitful for the kingdom of God so that other people can know Jesus and connect to Him. It never stops. You know, you could be 100 years old. Not quite, Derek, but you could be 100 years old and you still know very little about Him because there's so much to know and so much to connect to. So church, people, individuals, you know, are you connecting with God and are you passionate about it today? Get to know Him more. Bring the disciplines of God, the basics, into your life in a deeper and a greater way. And start to pursue God more and more in your life. You need Him. I need Him. We are nothing. We are able to do nothing without Him. You know, Matthew 16, verses 13 to 17, Jesus, in talking to the disciples, says this, or has this little interesting dialogue with them. He says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He was asking His disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said to Him, 'Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' And He said to them, 'But who do you say I am?' And Peter answered Him and says, 'Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" You know, the interesting thing about this dialogue here is that this is probably, for you and I, the biggest question that you and I will ever answer. And it's probably the most important question that you and I will ever answer. You see, when God brought you, if you are a person who's been brought to salvation and you have made Jesus Savior and Lord of your life, you know that at one point you made that decision that you recognized who Jesus was, that He was Christ, the Son of the living God. But it never stops because we can never let our guard down. And we need to more fully know who is Jesus, the Son of God. And we need to continually ask the question, who do I say and believe Him to be in my life? And I love the fact in the gospel that, you know, God gave us life, especially in the garden through Adam and Eve when He started things off. God gave us life, but man sinned against him. And the Bible tells us we've all sinned and fall short of his glory. But then God had a plan of salvation to redeem us from our sin, because a sinful man cannot be in relationship with a holy God. And so Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth, lived a life of example of his Father, showed his love, and then one day was crucified and killed and punished for your sin and my sin that was upon him. And the Son of God gave his life for our freedom and our eternal life and our redemption, so that we could no longer be a people of sin, but through his blood be cleansed to have relationship again with a holy God. And his promise to you and to me is that we will live for eternity with relationship with him. You see, that's the very basic gospel. You know, we've all sinned. We all need Jesus. And only the Holy Spirit can reveal that to us and draw us to that truth. And if you are a person here in the room today, or you're a person online, and you've never made a decision or knew that your sins needed to be forgiven by Jesus' blood that was shed for you on the cross, I urge you today to know and just say to the Holy Spirit, if this is true, Holy Spirit, reveal that to me. Draw me to Jesus, to salvation. Because every one of us needs to deal with eternal life. I love when Jesus also, in one of his stories in the Gospels, you know, the story of his friend Lazarus. And if you've read the Bible a lot, you know what I'm talking about here. You know, word comes to Jesus, Lazarus is sick unto death. And Jesus, you know, instead of packing up and moving to where Lazarus was, just stayed put, waited 4 days. And in the meantime, that 4 days, Lazarus dies. And Jesus is using this opportunity to teach about God's grace and salvation and mercy. And when he gets there, the first thing that happens is Jesus is coming near to there, and Mary runs out to greet him. Martha came out and ran to him. And Martha and Jesus have this dialogue, and she says to him, you know, if you'd only been here, you know, my brother would have lived. She knew that he had healed the sick. She knew that if Jesus was there, he could have prayed and raised him up, and he wouldn't have died. And so she tells Jesus that, and Jesus says to her these amazing words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Martha says to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. What a great claim from Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, if you physically pass away in this life, you're still going to live eternally. And you see, if you don't die in this life, and all of a sudden Jesus was to return, then we're going to live anyway. Eternally with him. But the decision has to be made. Do we believe that he is the resurrection and the life? Do we believe that Jesus died on the cross and was buried? And do we believe that Jesus rose from the dead to give us new life? Romans 10, 9 and 10. You see, we can't just leave the knowledge of that. We have to do something with it. We have to, you know, believe in our hearts that this is true. You see, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. We make a decision to believe that Jesus died for our sin. And we accept that and we confess that, not only in our heart but with our mouths. You see, I think we do that all the time. As Christians, we need to do that. We need to constantly remind ourselves that we need to connect with God and that we still believe that he is Lord, that we still confess he is Lord in our life. I think it's so important that we consciously continue to bring him more and more as Lord of our lives. I found this interesting kind of look at, you know, what Jesus is to people. And I found this kind of interesting and maybe fitting this morning, but simply this is how it goes. Maybe you've seen it. It says, to the artist, he is the one altogether lovely. To the architect, he is the chief cornerstone. To the baker, he is the living bread. To the banker, he is the hidden treasure. To the biologist, he is the life. To the builder, he is the sure foundation. To the laborer, he is the giver of rest. To the doctor, he's the great physician. To the educator, he is the great teacher. To the farmer, he is the Lord of the harvest. To the florist, he is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. To the horticulturist, he is the true vine. To the geologist, he is the rock of ages. To the jurist, he is the righteous judge, the judge of all men. To the lawyer, he is the counselor, the lawgiver, the advocate. To the jeweler, he is the pearl of great price. To the newspaper man, he is the good tidings of great joy. To the electrician, he is the light of the world. To the philosopher, he is the wisdom of God. To the preacher, he is the word of God. To the sculptor, he is the living stone. To the servant, he is the good master. To the sinner, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And to the Christian, he is the Son of the living God, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Lord. I love that because it describes all, well, not all, but some of the names of Jesus and titles of Jesus in the Bible. Jesus also gave us some of those titles and names. You see, what I'm trying to sort of bring to our remembrance today is let's not become complacent in our faith. Let's not, you know, set our guard down. Let's stay vibrant in our faith. Let's let joy that God puts in our heart just radiate and beam out of our life. Let's let God grow in us and in faith in us and build our relationship with Him. Let's never settle for just enough. Let's want more. Let's want Jesus more than anything else. I hope you hear my heart today. I was sitting in my basement a lot, and I do it a lot actually right now in the dark, on the couch. I have my cup of coffee. My wife is good to me once in a while and gives me some oatmeal. You know, I love sitting back there, and I love just in the dark just thinking about Jesus. I don't need to have a big program. I don't need to have all the words to say. I just lean back and I close my eyes at times and I just reflect on how amazing God is. And you know what always happens? I always am reminded of how much more I need Him. That I couldn't do anything without Him. He's everything. And I hope and trust in your life and in your heart that you value Jesus more than anything. Would you take the challenge to connect with God more and more in your life? You may not know how to do it or how you know that all works out, but you can try. You can ask God and seek those in your life that are passionate about Jesus. Surround yourself with those kind of people because they will bring you up in faith and not tear you down. Philippians 2, 8 and 11. Being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The key? Know who Jesus is, respond to Him, and live your life according to that knowledge. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you so much. You have been so good to us, giving us a life. The fact that we are who we are is just amazing. God, you created us unique, individual, God, and you treasure every one of us. But God, we've all sinned against you. And Jesus, that's why you had to come and die on that cross for our sin, to take our punishment literally upon yourself so that we could be free. So we thank you for that today. And thank you that we've sung about that today. And God, we want to connect with you. And God, we want to raise the bar of our faith, and we want to elevate it so that we're growing, that we're, God, understanding and knowing you more fully. All of your names, all of your titles, God, all of the great things that you bring to us, God, in relationship on this earth, we treasure those things. So God, help us. Holy Spirit, I invite you, even this week, to direct all of our attention to what you want to do and accomplish in our lives. So thank you, God. And I pray for every individual that's here in the room and that's on the live stream today. God, just open up their eyes more fully and continually to how beautiful and amazing you are, God. We so treasure, God. We so love. We so want you, God, to be honored in our lives. So Jesus, who do we say you are? You are God. And we thank you for it. Jesus, in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you for a few moments to respond to the Spirit. What is the Spirit wanting to say in your life, in your heart, in your mind today? It's going to take a moment and have a song of praise to the Lord. And just invite you to ask God even how you can connect more or how you could see the bar raised in your faith. Boy, I love Jesus. Don't always get it right, but I love him. And if you're within my voice today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you've never believed or known that he died for you on a cross for your sin, if you never knew that you needed to make a decision so that he would forgive your sin and that there is something after this life that God has in store for you, I just invite you, just as if you would speak to a friend, just say, Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you forgive my sin? And would you just open up my understanding that I would know you and I would know all about this amazing story? You don't have to get your life in order. You don't have to get it right. You just have to let the Spirit lead you to Jesus. And God will show you the truth, and God will show you who he is. Let's honor the Lord in the Spirit today, and let's just open up our hearts to him. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Yeah, Holy Spirit, just continue the work this week that you've begun in our hearts today again. Every time we gather together, God, thank you that you're in our midst. We bless you so much, God. You know, there's, as we were singing that song, there's somebody on our live stream today, and you're sitting there, and you feel like you've failed over and over and over again, and you're thinking that you just can't do it. And I want to give you a word from God. Yes, you can, because God's strength is what will help you to do it. So rely on him, not yourself. Turn your eyes to him, and he forgives you. You know, don't be condemned this morning. You know, just turn right now, even now, wherever you are, and just pray and ask God to show you and confirm that in your spirit. But there's somebody definitely out there who is sitting there saying that, and yes, you can do it. You know, you can do it. And find somebody in faith that can help you and walk this journey out with you so you're not alone. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you loving Jesus?
Yes.
Excited for Jesus? Amen. Would you stand? You know, we're going to sing that first song again and praise Him, but you're free to be blessed of the Lord. May His face shine upon you all week and let His glory rest on you. And don't forget tomorrow. Set some time aside to connect with God and to fast. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.